Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
We bring to you a sacrifice of praise from the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto your name. And I worship you with all my heart, with all my heart, with all my heart. I worship you, oh, I worship you with all of my heart, with all of my heart, with all. Oh, I worship you, worship you, with all of my heart, with all my, with all of my heart. Oh Lord, we worship you, we worship, with all of my heart, we all, with all of my heart, with all. I worship you with all of my heart, with all my heart. Crave are you, Lord, greatly to be praised, greatly to be praised. Father, you reign, Father, you reign. Crave are you, Lord, greatly to be praised, greatly to be praised. Father, you reign, great are you, Lord. O Rabba Shinda Rabbaya Kosh, great are you. O Rabba Shanda Baya Koli Rabbaya Tosha, great. We are great, are you, Lord of all grace. Oh, you greatly to be praised, great. Great and greatly to be praised, O God, great. One more time, everybody sing. Oh, great are you, Lord, great are you, Lord of all. Great and greatly to be praised, yeah. Great and greatly to be praised, O God, great. One more time. Oh, great, great are you, Lord of all. Great and greatly to be praised. Great and greatly to be praised, oh God, great. With a grateful heart we lift our voice to you. Proclaim, Lord, you are. With a grateful heart, we lift up. Proclaim, Lord, you are. Thank you, Father. You do my test. You the glorious sense, your faith, awesome is you the mighty things, you the mighty, Lord, you do, you're a faithful God. Awesome, you do mine, you do mighty thing. Oh, you're a faith. You do mine, you do mine. You're the glorious thing. Oh, you're a faith. I want you to resound that. You do mine. You do mine. You're the glorious. Faithful God. Oh, Yarabo, Sharabali, Yaro. You do my, you do my, and glorious things. Faithful God. One more time. You do my, the things you do my. And you'll do glorious. You're a faithful God. Thank you, Father. Great are you, Lord. So greatly to be praised. Greatly to me, Father, you reign. Oh, and greatly to Shirabaya Ko Sharabaya. Father, you reign. Hallelujah. Amen. Just when I stepped on podium to preach, the Lord said, raise the song. And I wouldn't raise a song like this on a normal day for such a meeting. I want a very active song. But when I obeyed and raised the song, I just understood what God wants to do. You know, a lot of times when we worship God, people see worship like a marathon because of they've been used to activities. So you see, some people prefer worship to be very fast. In fact, the human spirit wants worship to be always fast. Do you understand?
And sometimes when people are not fast, especially with the instrumentalists, they don't like when worship is slow. They want it fast. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And the balance is that if everybody is a worshiper, then we wouldn't bother whether worship is fast or slow. Everybody must be a worshiper. Both the instrumentalists, the psalmist, and the people. Are you listening to me? So we are not following a rhythm. We are following our spirit. That's what makes worship very, very effective. Are you listening? So when everybody is a worshiper, nobody wants to overshadow anybody. You know those days when we grow up and hear keyboardist wants to be louder, drummer wants to be louder. It's because we are doing activities. But as you grow, you don't care who goes first. The drummer will say, no, let the keyboardist flow. It's not time to play. Amen? The keyboardist will say, no, I think it's time for the drummer to... Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Indirectly, I'm advising everybody. I hope people are getting what I'm trying to explain. We can sit down. Hallelujah to Jesus. Let's celebrate our mommy in the house. Pastor Mrs. Kundu. Hallelujah. If for some of you that don't know her, she is Joyce's mom, one of our members. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Welcome to church. So I got thinking, I wanted to start hitting from some powerful set of scriptures I gathered, but the Lord said, calm down a little bit. Let me show you something. And as I raised that song, my eyes were open to other things. Listen, God never said in his word, I am looking for people to gather money so that I will take over the world. He never said that in his word. Have you ever seen it in the Bible? That I'm looking for people to gather money. Yes, he had told some people in the church, he spoke through Paul talking to Timothy. He said, admonish the rich to give to the work of God, because that's all that matters. Paraphrasing, Paul said that to Timothy. He told him to admonish those that are rich in the church to give for the work of the ministry. But now, you will never find where God in scripture said, I'm looking for people to gather money so that I'll bring my agenda to pass. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Now, money is very important, but money is not the most important. All right? A lot of things, you know, for some of us, we may not believe it till you have a lot of money. Money does not solve all problems. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Before Blessed Kenneth Hagin was laid to rest, he wrote a book called The Midas Touch. Hallelujah to Jesus. And in the book, he explained how that money is not everything. And how that we should be calm with the prosperity gospel. Are we together? He said there was a certain king in the story. He wrote in the book, there was a certain king who had the power to touch anything and it would change to gold. Amen? And the king was touching everything. It would change. Anything he touches would change to gold. Somehow within the story, he had the ability. I don't know if he just had it from bed. No, I think somehow within the story, he had such an ability. And now he mistakenly touched his only daughter. And his daughter changed to gold. And he started crying. He had all the money. He had all the gold. But he was crying. Because his only daughter is now gold. I thought he should be more excited that he has more gold. But now he wouldn't mind to give all the gold he had in the world at that time to get back his daughter. He was crying for an ability to give. In fact, he doesn't care. Anything he has, he wanted to give so that he can get what? Gold. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? He can get his daughter back, sorry. So Kenneth Hagin of Blessed Memory used that to explain to us as preachers. That even though we're teaching prosperity, we should understand that there are certain things that are bigger and better than prosperity. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. For instance, money can never be more important than any human being. Did you get what I just said? Money can, if you respect people because of money, you are a hypocrite. The Bible says you should love everybody and respect everybody because they are worth the precious blood of Jesus. You must learn to love people. In fact, it's supposed to be part of your nature as a child of God. If you don't love people, you are not a child of God. You must love people unconditionally. Meaning it's not based on what they can give you, what they can offer to you that will make you love them. I remember the story of the founder of Epis. how he got a big piece of land and started making money before he became the director of Epis. I remember listening to the story somehow on Facebook that it was an Agbero boy in Lagos that he was nice to, that directed him and showed him a way to buy land in Lagos at that time. That he didn't know that the guy had that kind of connection. The guy connected him, he was able to buy some land, blah, 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 to cut the long story short, in a very cheap amount. And he sold it later, became very rich. And anytime he thinks about his money, he always remembers the Agbero boy. Because he was nice to the guy became nice to him. Even though the guy was an Agbero boy. I people get out, I'm trying to explain to you. Because naturally speaking, when you see an Agbero boy, if you have been to Lagos, you will not really see anything beautiful in them. Would you? No. You take them for granted, naturally speaking, isn't it? There's no beauty to behold in an Agbero boy. Maybe some of you have not seen Agbero boys. That's why you don't understand what I'm trying to say. Before you even talk to them, they are looking like you should not talk to them. Hallelujah to Jesus. So there are certain things that are very important than money. A lot of things, you know, people that don't have money would not believe us. But there are a lot of things that are more important than what? Money. People. Family. Human beings. Hallelujah to Jesus. I'm saying the same thing. So God will say in his word in the book of Daniel, I sought for a man that will stand in the gap. God did not say, I'm looking for money to take over nations. He said, I sought for a word, a man. So when you become that man God can use, money will follow you by default. Are you listening? God will not cause you into prosperity. In fact, it's a law already on the earth. The Bible says, as long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest will not cease. You will not have money because you cried so much. You know, it's a law on the earth already. You can't change the law. Hallelujah to Jesus. Just like the law of faith. The Bible speaks of our reality in Christ in 1 John. Then the Bible now goes further to explain to us in verse chapter 3. Down through chapter 3 to 5. After telling us our place in Christ. I think from verse 1 of 1 John 3. Can we see it briefly? 1 John 3. From verse 1, 1 John 3. Can we read together? Is everybody in church? So let's read like we're in church. One, two, go. That he has lavish. They didn't recognize him. Beautiful. Next part of scripture. Next part of scripture. Wow, purifying themselves. That's not our topic, but it's beautiful, isn't it? Present continuous, purifying themselves. Why? Because Jesus is pure. Isn't it? And we're like him. Next part of scripture. Next part of scripture. Am I in the right place? I'm looking for where it talks about the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Am I in the right place? Five, right? We enjoyed this. Now go to 1 John 5. Didn't you enjoy this? Are you angry? You know, when we begin to get old, that's what happens to us. Want to read. Wow. NKJV, next part of scripture. Next part of scripture. I don't even like this rendition. Can we have it in the TPT? And I want everybody to read so loud. From verse 1. Verse 1. Come on. Sorry, sir. Now let's read. 1, 2, go. Hey. He has been fathered by what? And everyone who loves Father, God loves his children as well. If they don't love you, they don't love God. Next part of scripture. This is how. That's proof you're a child of. You can't be listening to Davido and say you love God. Some people don't like what I just said at all. Do you like what I just said? Read it again. Want to go? Everybody want to go? This is how we can be sure. Passionate. You know, there's a manager of football that says football is a game of passion. That's when their club started losing. So he started telling us that we should forget goals and be passionate about football. I'm so sorry, Arsenal fans. I don't mean this. Let's read the next part of scripture. Did you see that? His commands don't what? Give us in the NLT. New Living Translation. Then you come back immediately. Want to go? Give me the Amplified rendition. The Amplified rendition. Want to go? They are not what? If anything is suggesting that serving God is difficult, is the devil. God said, it's not difficult for you to obey me. He said, my yoke is what? My burden is what? Hallelujah to Jesus. Do you love the scriptures? Next part of scripture. 4. For everyone. And this is the victory our word. I like it in the NKJV, especially this part. Let's see it, just this part. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. What is the victory? Our faith. So you see, faith is a victory. Now, naturally, when you are born again, you have overcome the world. But you will never experience that reality except by faith. Get what I'm trying to say? I say a lot of times when we read scripture, there are some part that talks about our nature and some part that talk about the nurturing into our nature. Our nature and what? The nurturing into our nature. Now, if you look at the first part of the scripture, it said, if you are born again, you should overcome the world. Isn't it? Then the next part of it now says, but the victory that has overcome the world is our faith. Seeming confusing, isn't it? That if you are born again, you should naturally what? Overcome the world. But he's saying that is not possible until you have faith. Meaning even though God has written in his word that you are supposed to overcome the world, you will not overcome the world until you believe what he has said and say it yourself. The Bible says he has said so that we may boldly say. It is when we repeat what he has said because of our believing that we'll see a manifestation. I hope people get what I'm trying to explain to you. So there are a lot of things in scripture that may never happen until you walk in the law of faith. What is the law of faith? Believing and what? Speaking. Are you guys here tonight? Remember the woman with the issue of blood? Did she have an agreement with Jesus to be healed before she got healed? She took her healing before Jesus realized. There was no agreement because of the law of faith. Faith is the victory. She said to herself, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made what? Imagine she said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be rich. You know what I'm trying to tell you is that faith determines the victory. Faith determines your victory. If you make up your mind to follow God's precepts and commands in a certain area, you see a manifestation. Hallelujah to Jesus. So like I was speaking about Daniel, how that God spoke to him that I sought for a man that was standing the gap. I said to you, you see, it's not about money yet. God is not focused on money yet. The primary purpose of God by the Holy Spirit in your life is not to make you rich. That's not his primary purpose. You have a lot of money if you become the kind of God wants you to become. That is why he says, seek first, what? The kingdom. Then he says what? Every other good thing will be what? Yesterday we explained how that God prospers people. God can give you money. And he gives you money by not by giving you cash. I was just meditating today and I said, for every time we experience miracle money, it was not millions, it was small money. Because God doesn't want to teach you that you can just sit down and just say, money enter my account and you see 1 billion. Work will be useless in this world. Some people will say, now my work is to just be in my house and be speaking to my phone. That is why a lot of times you will not see big money until you walk. You will see some little miracles when you trust God and call for money. He will do it indicating that he is God. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? But why it's not plenty is because he wants you to go and walk. Just like Elisha and that woman that lost her husband and came to him. He said, gather a lot of bottles. Gather them. He said, take this little one. I'm going to come to that. I don't want to spoil this thing now, but let me just explain something. He said, keep on filling all the bottles. She kept on filling. As long as there were bottles, the oil was what? Flowing. Suddenly there was no bottle again. She now went and said, master, no more bottle. Instead of saying she has a lot of oil, she said, no more bottle. What did Elisha say? Go and sell those ones you have and pay for your debt. She did not come to him and said, what she told him was this. I have a problem. I lost my husband. I have a problem. I don't have money. Blah, blah, blah. Elisha did not say money. Full her account. What did he say? Go. What do you have? Oil? Okay. He multiplied the oil. What did he say at the end? Go and sell. This is how God works. He gives you the ability to bring about what? Wealth. Are you listening to me? But that aside, the focal point of God for you on the earth is not that you make money. You know, when I see a lot of people passionate about God because of money, what he can do for them, I'm amazed. Because it's as if they are trying to take advantage of God. It's as if God for them is a means to an end. I mean, I've seen people who cry at a certain point of their life in a meeting, crying. And if you listen to what they are saying, it is about money. They are praying for their business to move forward. In fact, the reason they became more committed to God is because of money. Are you listening to me? God doesn't want you committed to him because of money. No! He wants you committed to him because of him, not because of money. Are you listening to me? That is why he's saying, seek first kingdom and its righteousness. Meaning, know your place in Christ and understand where you hail from. He said, then every other good thing will be added to you by default. Have you seen somebody that ever served God, followed God for something and got it? If you observe them carefully, after they get whatever they want from God, they become very foolish. Most of them become very foolish. You know, I've seen people crying and, seem as if Christianity is failing them because they've not received some money yet. They are wondering, they are thinking they are following God is worthless because they've been following God for more than 10 years, 20 years. And to them, you know, you hear some of them say, I have nothing to show for following God. What do you mean by you have nothing to show for following God? Ask them such question. Then the next thing they'll talk about, house, food, it is material things. Then you will now know their heart. That they were following God all these years because of things, not because of Him. And as long as you are following God for things, you will never get the things. The Bible says, he that set his eyes in rubies, on rubies, he said he ends in nothing. He said, but he that sets his eye on wisdom, he ends in plenty. There are some that will compare their life with unbelievers. In fact, some people compare us with other nations. Have you heard people that talk like that? They say we are not, as there are, certain nations are not religious like us, but they are doing well. And I ask, what do you mean by they are doing well? And the next answer is this. At least they have good rules. They have that. They had this. Now, how is that the problem of the church? Firstly, the answer is this. The worth of a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he has. Meaning that people can have all of those prosperity and they are useless before God. I showed you yesterday in Luke 12. How that the rich man was not rich towards God. The Bible says he was foolish and not rich towards God. He had a lot of things he gathered on the earth, but the Bible says he was not rich towards God. I said you can be rich towards men and not be rich towards God. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. I said that's the first thing. Secondly, you can't complain about our nation blaming the church. What of the government? How foolish can the devil make people so foolish? For instance, the government and the people now are blaming the church. The government and the people. Have you seen two enemies? Have you seen your enemies cooperating before? I mean, you've seen two terrible people. You never see them. You've never imagined them come together. But suddenly they are cooperating against you. Because it is you now. Two of them are now friends. Do you know, if it's not because of you, they would have not been friends. They've not checked themselves very well to know their differences. As long as you are the matter, dear friends. After a while, when you go away from the picture and they look at themselves, they will realize what brought me to you. You useless person. Then fight and they'll go away. That's what is happening. You know, one time I saw a news. They say EFCC are looking for a way to regulate pastors' corruption. So I saw the man, the chairman, speaking that they are working on ways to regulate pastors' corruption, that it's not good as pastors, that people should be doing corruption. I have no problem with that, but I have a problem with it. Are we for pastors being corrupted? Are we for pastors misbehaving? But just think of this. EFCC say now they have a burden for us, the church. They want to watch our pastors to see that they are not doing corruption. Question is, what of Senate House? Are you seeing how the devil can make people blind? You know, even if the church is not doing well, you must be wise to understand that Satan is against the church. You must be wise to understand. Look at it carefully. Those senators there and the pastors who are corrupt. Let me explain how beautiful the life of a pastor can be. Listen carefully. How many of you know Christ Embassy? How many of you know Living Faith? Do you know how these people started? Some of them started many years ago. I saw a picture of Bishop Oyedepo in a zinc building. Zinc. In Kaduna, zinc. Panam Pasipo was singing there. If you see Panam Pasipo trust at that time, you thank God for his life today. So I was just laughing when I was looking at it. Right now, Living Faith is in almost all the nations of the world. They became so rich one time, a bank complained that their money is too much. Imagine you save money and the bank said, we have a problem. Say, what is it? Your money is too much in our bank. Listen carefully. That is why another church called Christ Embassy, instead of saving in banks, because of that problem, they say, let's create our own bank and save our money. They have their own bank now. You know, I know, as you are thinking, I say, now, people tight, think. If you have sense, think again. Your government have been collecting tax for how many years? Before they burn you. If you enter Vandikia Street, there's no good road. Before they burn you, they've been collecting what? Tax. Look at the beauty of a pastor's life. Taking a church from nothing to every part of the world. They are building a big church. I love Bishop Oyedepo. He came out and said, we are dedicating the church by September. Next, he mentioned the date and mentioned the time. People have already been sending, why would you build the ark? Why? Do you know how many capacity? Huh? Over 200,000. Yes. Nothing like that in the world, the whole world. Nigeria said, build us factory, build us. So now it is us that are building people factory. Let me show you how corrupt your nation is. We just protested, yet they bought 100 and something. How many billion was that private jet? It's in billions, though. Not billion, billions. Dollars, right? They bought the private jet after you protested. They don't care. They bought it. Waiting for your next protest. Let me show you how evil. I'm going somewhere. You guys follow me. Just follow me. I'm not sounding foolish. I'm going somewhere. Look at it carefully. How many celebrities do you know that have private jets? Can you just mention if you know anybody? Mention? Okay, Davido has. Okay, I didn't know. Who again? Wizkid? Okay, who again? Burna Boy? Okay, who again? How do you know all this news? Who again? Who again? For me, I know Cristiano Ronaldo has. I follow him. I like the football. I follow him. Let me just tell you the truth. Amen? I don't know if Messi has. Does he have? Okay. Somebody shouted a yard before Cristiano. We are not arguing. Hallelujah to Jesus. And several other footballers, they have. What are they adding to humanity? We are not saying they are bad people, though. They are adding skills. For instance, if Cristiano Ronaldo scores, our heart is merry. So he's adding strength. Isn't it? Now, I'm trying to be sarcastic in a way. When Lionel Messi dribbles, he gives us joy. The Bible says a joyful heart makes the soul. Isn't it? That's what they are adding to the community. And nobody has ever complained. You see how Satan can be very useless. As they are buying Davido, all of them, nobody complained. What is Davido adding to the community? He's adding something. No. What is he adding? Huh? I don't know. Maybe you know. But I know he's adding something. Isn't it? What is Whiskey adding? They are all adding something, right? All add na add. Burna Boy, is he not adding something? He's adding now. They are adding things. They are adding things. They will sing about a woman's back. It will add something to the community. It will add lust. It will add demons. It opens gates for demons. Some people think I'm mad. I know what I'm saying. I've literally walked the street and see ladies and guys who are demon possessed. You will just see it, you know. No jokes. Many years ago in Kaduna, a lady from Zaria, we were sharing our experiences, and she was explaining something she saw in a vision, an open vision, that while a song was playing on radio, She just came into the room and literally the Lord opened her eyes. She started seeing demons coming out from the sound. Demons coming out from the sound. Worldly shock. Literally speaking. Meaning the song was expelling spirit and subjecting people. I know a man, a young man, till today, is a chain smoker in the barracks in NDA. He's my closest friend. We're in the same block. I knew the day he started smoking. Somebody said, "But Pastor, why didn't you change him?" I was not fully changed that time. But I knew the day he started smoking. He used to hear this song. We were hearing together before I became born again. By Lil Wayne. "I got blood in my eyes." And one day, I woke up early in the morning and saw him coming from the bush. I called his name. "What are you doing in the bush?" He said, "No, I went to ease myself." I didn't know when this boy started easing himself in the bush. So when he came close to me, early in the morning, he was smelling so fine. He has poured the perfume. Under heaven, anybody that smokes and pour that perfume, I will know. So I said, "Why are you smelling so nice?" Then I just said immediately, "Kafarishan tabako," he started crying. Like a joke, that's how that guy became addicted to date. No jokes. The last time I called, they say he's just moving in the barracks. His father has retired. He's just moving within the barracks. A song. Look at what these people add to the community. See the rubbish they add. But you think they deserve all of those things. But you check some men of God's schedule, they are going all around the world preaching the gospel. Adding value to humanity. And you think they should not have the best. He said, "Listen, God is a promoter, not man." The Bible says, "He that seeth in the secret, the word where? In the open." We're talking with a friend when they told us that a young man bought Padibo a private jet. A young man. I heard the story, I couldn't believe it. This one is not prediction. A young man. Now they were shocked. Even the people, when he told the people, "Where is that?" They say he's trying to going to catch up with a flight. So which flight? "That is going to catch up." He said, "Yes." He said, "Please, can I talk to you? Can you give me some information?" He collected some information. Before they know, they dropped private jet. Somebody will now say, "He would have sold it and given to the poor." That's what Judas said. It is thieves that talk like that. Now follow me carefully. If your neighbor doesn't like what I'm saying, Riga Bahai. Are you here tonight? So God doesn't just want to give you money. But no! He wants you to think kingdom first before he allows you to touch money. Are you listening to me? That I sought for a man that will what? Stand in the gap. Listen, no matter the height of prosperity you want to touch, if you like, cry from today to tomorrow. If it will not push the glory of God, he will not back it up. Because in this world, if you are not living for God, you are living against him. There is no neutral ground. You know, there are some people that don't want to be hot Christians. They just want to be mild Christians. Not hot Christians, not really cold Christians. But if you have been within this faith society for a long period of time, you understand that there is nothing like mild Christian. You are either hot nor cold. The Bible says if you are neither hot nor cold, what will I do? Spit you out. The only people God can help are those that are saying, "I'm cold. Grace will abound." And those that are hot, of course, they are within his parameters. But those that are double-minded, he said, "What will I do? I'll spit you out." Hallelujah to Jesus. And they love Christians like that. I told you a story how I saw a couple thanking the Lord for visa. Just less than 2 months later, with a good Christian song, I think Nathaniel Bassi's song. Less than 2 months, I saw them on the same Instagram with worldly song, dancing and vibing in the country they've gone to. So I'm like, God really sees a lot of things. Now imagine you are God and somebody is praying to you for a visa. And you grant the visa. When you grant the visa, you didn't know you have granted them death sentence. They now go to that place and start listening to worldly songs and even dancing and putting on Instagram. So to them, they think Christianity is all about getting their needs met. They don't understand that Christianity is an agenda. Everybody say Christianity is an agenda. I told you, it is an agenda. You cannot be cold. You cannot be a scalar Christian. A Christian with magnitude and no direction. God cannot use you. Listen to what he said in 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. He said, I cannot use the unrighteous. He said, the unrighteous cannot inherit the kingdom. He goes ahead to explain who the unrighteous are, their ways. He said, do not be deceived, neither what? Read everybody. Do not be deceived, neither what? No what? No what? No what? No what? They cannot bring the kingdom here. What is God's goal for the earth? As it is in heaven, so shall it be upon the face of the earth. That's kingdom come. That's what it means for the kingdom to find full expression. The kingdom is the influence of God on earth like it is actively working in heaven. God wants his influence in heaven to find full expression upon the face of the earth. When this happens, then the kingdom is manifested. Because the parameters of God's kingdom goes beyond the heavenlies. He said, heaven is my throne and the earth extends as my footstool. So if he's not having full dominion in heaven and on earth, then the kingdom is not manifested. And how God will have full dominion on the earth is through you and I, man. That is why he's saying, I'm looking for men. I sought for a man that would stand in the gap. So that heaven through him will find expression upon the face of the earth. And such men is what Paul explained in same 1 Corinthians 6. When he heard them in sin, he said, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't you know God dwells in you? Don't you know you've been bought with a price and you are not your own? God wants to live on your inside and bring the influence of heaven on the earth from your inside. We are how God will bring this kingdom dream into manifestation. And that is why Satan is haunting us every day of our lives. So you see that even if you have money and you are not that man God can use to bring heaven to the earth, you will not be able to bring heaven to the earth. The money on you will still be useless. Money is not the first thing God is looking forward to giving you or anybody upon the face of the earth. Because money is useless if you are not that man, that ideal man or that ideal woman that God can use. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? That is why he says seek first kingdom. Meaning if all your life is seeing how that God's influence in heaven will find expression on the earth, he said, me, I will make sure every other one good thing be added to you. Because he knows if this business gets to the highest level, the first thing in your mind will be how to push his work. The first thing in your mind. He knows. Say, God, forget what I'm doing now. If I get the money I'm looking for, I'll be serious with you. God doesn't care about your promises. He has given you an algorithm. He said, he that is faithful in little will be faithful in what? Meaning if you are not faithful in little, you will not be faithful in plenty. If you are not serving God now that you don't have, when you have, you will not serve God. That's what he's trying to make you understand. You think when you become more influential, you have time to serve God. If you don't have time to serve God now that your business, two people buy in two weeks now, you don't have time. You are busy advertising for 2 weeks. You could even make it to service. What if everybody is coming to you 10 times a day? You are selling like 25 times a day. You even say, church is a distraction. They are the kind of people that will start telling us Christianity is a distraction. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here tonight? Are you here tonight? As I'm talking, some of you will be realizing why you don't have money yet. It is very evident. You understand it. He said, fornicators cannot inherit the kingdom. He said, adulterers. He said, they cannot. They cannot inherit the kingdom. So a man in sin cannot allow God to find full expression upon the face of the earth. It's not possible. Such a man, every other good thing cannot be added to him. Because if it is added to him, it will make him more of a sinner. If God makes a fornicator very rich, what will happen to that fornicator? He will die in fornication. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Meaning it's God's mercy that is making sure some people are broke today. God's mercy. Listen, I was telling my pastors one time, I said, forget humble face. God knows people more than you know people. If you see them subjected in one place, there is something you don't know that God knows. They may look nice, but there's something you don't know that God knows. Are you listening to me? Glory to God forevermore. Are you here tonight? I was reading one of the conditions in the Old Testament, and I saw how that God said, if you love me and keep my ways, he said, then, he started speaking about prosperity in the land. Same algorithm in the Old Testament. If you seek first the kingdom, every word, same algorithm. And something came to my heart. I said to myself, if every human being will live in the path of righteousness, it will, in fact, living in the path of righteousness is already answered prayers. Answered prayers. You know what I mean by that? Do you know if you know how to talk nicely to people, you will not suffer in this world? Do you know that? Just talking nicely to people. I was in House on the Rock when Pastor Adefarasin was giving a story of how that their first set of instruments, sound in church, was given to them free. That they went to buy, and when he introduced himself to the seller, the man said, Adefarasin, he said, yes. He said, Adefarasin, you don't know what that man has done for me. He explained. He said, is it that man? He said, yes. He now hugged the young Pastor Paul. He was very young that time. And he now told him that, carry anything you want. If you have to give me, give me. If you don't have, no problem. Just carry and go. He took the set of sound they wanted and went for free. Because of the Father's name. The Bible says, a good name is better than word. Are you here tonight? I always tell ladies, there was a time I was counseling a lady. I said, if you know how to talk well, you would have married. She was working in a place, and while she was in church, we got some report she was quarreling in the department. So I had to call her to my office. I said, why are they complaining that you are quarreling? Say, Pastor, some of them are too young. They told me talking to somebody. I said, how did they talk to you? How can somebody tell me that? You know, they just told her, you miss meeting. Why? She got offended. That she's too old for somebody to ask her why she missed meeting. She wants her father to be the HOD. And I said to her, so the question the person asks, is it bad? She said, no, Pastor, it's just that it's one kind. I said, how kind? Explain it. Then the second, the third time, I had to talk to her so deeply. I said, you behave like a child and you're old. I had to raise my voice at her. True life story. I raised my voice at her in the office. I said, you are too old to behave like this. I wanted to go deeper, but she would have cried if I continued. I said, you just look at how old you are. And look at how you are behaving like a child. Everybody is complaining about you. Old. Old. Remaining small for me to say, old mama. You know, it is very expedient that sometimes a pastor will rebuke foolishness. It's one of the ministry of a pastor. All scripture are given for what? Doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. We don't just stop at doctrine. If your pastor have not rebuked you, know that you are not a good member. At some point, your pastor should be confident to call you and say, stop, that thing is wrong. And when I told her that, I now connected a lot. I told her, I said, you have to change this path. And when we're going deeper, I asked her, you know, I said, is this how you behave? Because I remember many years, she has complained about people talking to her in a way. I said, no, I don't think people talk to you in a way you don't like. I think you are the one that interprets it the way you don't like. And I said, this is how you talk to people, you will hardly get married. She started crying. And that's the truth. I said, you will hardly get married. No man is looking for a man in the house. No man is looking for another man. You know, especially with firstborn ladies. That's very familiar. Not all of them, some of them. Because if you are a firstborn lady, you are in charge of men and women. You must have a lot of capacity to be able to hold boys and girls together. So somehow you must have muscles to fight. Somehow you must trust God for some Chinese skills and taekwondo skills. And God now gives you a man. So you are used to challenge. You like challenge. You can chest challenge. You are a John Cena. When a man talks one, you say, will you keep that mouth shut? And the man is like, Jesus Christ. You know, I was joking one time. I said, some ladies have fought with boys. Oh, you know, they fought with their brother so much that now they're in a relationship. They think they're with their brother in the relationship. That's why the young men will just run away in peace. No man likes trouble. Listen, the first thing a man wants in his life is peace. Not fine face. Peace. Fine face may draw a man to you, but peace will keep the man there. I know what I'm telling you. How many of you have heard people say, I don't know why fine men will marry ugly men. Oh my God. Ugly women, I'm so sorry. Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, we're in a generation that you don't play with these kind of things again. Hallelujah. What I mean is, fine men marry ugly women. Thank you. You must correct these things. Before those losers who start posting that we're not supporting them. It's not because the ladies are necessarily ugly, if you understand. Nobody's ugly. But men are looking for what? Peace. If you know how to behave well and talk to people. You know, sometimes as a lady, you want to be a hypocrite. You talk to people anyhow, but when you see the one you want to marry, you start greeting him. Afternoon, sir. Happy to see you, sir. God bless you, sir. Meanwhile, a lot of people have seen how you talk to. So the guy now has a friend in that community. So wait, get this girl, wait, get respect. She's happy to greet people. What will be her name? Vero. Hello, Vero. Vero. Hey! My brother. Some boys will even need that. My brother, I beg. I use God to beg you. Run. Run for your life. Hassan, come. They say Vero, get respect. Come, oh. They say Vero. You can't hide bad character. You can't hide it. Just change. Tell somebody, change. Just by talking to people nicely. I told you a story. One mechanic, a new mechanic village close to welfare quarters. One nice guy. I always go there and the way I talk to them, I didn't know that thing was getting to them. So when I go to them to fix my car, I'll be cracking joke and playing with them. Especially that guy. His name was Edwin. Or is Edwin. So whenever he's done with me, I'll give him money and tell him to keep the change. And one time he traveled and left. Macaudi got a job. His sister got him a job in Lagos. And he was doing just fine. So he messaged me. I said, where are you? He said, Pastor, God has helped me or my sister has given me a job. I wanted to open my own shop, but now I think this job is better for me. I said, oh, beautiful. Then after 2 months there about, he messaged me. Pastor, there's a vacancy. They say only a graduate and I did not finish school. I thought of everybody, but I think you deserve it more. I say, why do I deserve it more? I don't want to tell him that I can't work in Lagos. And he said, because anytime you come to our shop, you always make me feel important. You talk to me and I feel so important. Nobody talks to me like that. And to crown it up, you always tell me to keep the change. So you make me feel so important. And I think you should have this job to make people's life beautiful. I'm telling you the truth. It was, you are going to be collecting the money in dollars. They don't pay you in naira. Of course, I didn't think twice. I said, no, I cannot. If you have somebody else, if not, I can suggest somebody. I think he had somebody else. Terrible. Hallelujah to Jesus. But I kept on meditating that night. I was meditating. Just little kindness. The Bible said, let the words you speak be seasoned with what? Salt. So that they minister what? Grace and hope. Grace and hope to the hearers. That is why when I work with people and I hear how they even talk to people, you know, if you have worked with me, you see me tell you, greet that person back. I can disgrace you if you work with me very well. Somebody is greeting us. Hi. And you just, I say, turn and greet him. Go and greet him and come. And the pastor agreed, go back there and meet him and greet him well. And you see the person go, my brother, how are you? We know the person is trying to greet, but he will be changing it. So when will you come to church? They have to add that. So the person will not feel like they are punishing them. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I was walking with somebody one time, and we tried shaking somebody. He shook me. I saw the hands. It was quite dirty. I shook him. The other person now said, good evening. It pained me. I said, no. Listen, who told you that you are surviving this world because you wash your hand well? When you are done washing your hand, I want you to come, let me check your hands for you, some of you. The germs you see will blow your mind. Hey, coach, see that big one? See that big? That is what. That's not what keeps you alive, oh. So I'm not saying that don't be hygienic. Are you listening to me? But look at it. How will that young man feel? He's hustling. He brought hand. You rejected hand. It's wrong. Why not shake the hand and go and wash your own hand? When you shake, you mark your hand. Then you go and wash it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? Seek first what? Kingdom. Every other good thing. You know, in this state, I've seen people walk as hypocrites, a lot of them. Anytime a politician is coming, you see them foolishly gathered in a place, causing barbarians, leaving their job, behaving like fools on the street. You know, sometimes I wish I'm a military man in those kind of cases. Sometimes I wish. And they block a street. Have you seen them block that street before? That one beside an NPC? I was rushing somewhere and I saw human beings playing. I said, shift for me. They said, no, you cannot pass here. And they hit my car. Bob, I said, ah. Somebody said, Pastor, leave them. Oh, they are agberos. They are doing meeting there. Who is doing the meeting? The political people. Then why are these barbarians here? And you see them going to lie down. Who has caused our generation like this? The highest to do is to carry some bundle of money and pour like this. Poof. Listen, you are bigger than those things. Your life is worth more than all those rubbish. I was preaching somewhere in Benue City and I said, now every young man wants to be a politician in this city. They've seen that stealing is the way out. Who told you that everybody must be a politician? They will start from BS to comrades. Everybody wants to be a politician. Nobody is thinking business. You think they are joking? Immediately after BS, he is local government chairman. I was joking one time. He's a comrade. And I saw his stomach so big. So I called him. Hey, Pastor, good evening. I said, how are you, comrade? He said, fine. I said, why is your stomach big? Straight to the point. He said, Pastor, I'm working on it. I said, God is faithful to you. Your stomach is just getting big. If at this age, as comrade, your stomach is getting big, what will happen when you become local government state chairman? Listen, people of God. He said, I will bless the works of your hands. Have the impetus to start something, it will work. Do you guys get what I'm trying to say? Have the impetus to start something, it will what? It will work. It will work. One time we were coming from Lagos and I was showing one of my friends oranges in a location, a particular local government area. On the ground, you know, when they are spoiled, they will bring it close to the road and just keep them by the road. In bags. So I said to him, I said, see waste. I said, can't somebody start? I know of a friend in Jos that started a juice. It is selling it today in Jos. Entering through Kaduna. The juice is selling. I know, he's a pastor. He started it in Jos. I said, can't somebody just have the impetus to start something? We will buy, start it and see. Everybody is thinking that we have to have a salary job. It's not bad. It's not bad to have a salary. You can start there, but you can't end there. They can't be paying you 150, 200 all the days of your life. No, you are a loser already. Check your Bible. Nobody collects salary. No, nobody that God used and made prosperous was living on salary. Check. Mention one person. I'm not saying don't collect salary job. Some people will now say, Pastor, say nobody survives. I'll not collect. No, you can start there, but you are heading somewhere. Are you listening to me? Very important. But the focal point is this, you seek the kingdom and his righteousness, and every other good thing will be what? Added. So God wants you to seek first the kingdom because he wants you to understand your place in Christ. Your place in his name as a king and a priest. Are you here with me? As a what? A king and a priest. Thank you, Holy Spirit. A king and a what? A priest. Glory to God forevermore. Where's Pastor Ed? Okay, they went there. Okay. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? And let me show you a part of scripture. While studying, the Lord told me, he said, the strength of the kingdom is the blessing. Everybody say the blessing. He said the strength of the kingdom is the blessing. So I wanted to understand it deeper. And as I studied, let's start with Genesis 1:26. We'll soon close. Don't worry, I wasn't hit the nail on the head. Can we read together, everybody? Next part of scripture. Next part of scripture. The Bible says, and God blessed them. And what did he say to them? Be fruitful. And what? Multiply. See the biblical grammar there. Be fruitful, multiply. He said, fill the earth. He then said what? Subdue it. How many of them were on the earth when God said this? Two. Only two of them. He said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the whole earth, subdue it. Somebody said the power of the blessing. One man, one woman. See how many of us are on the earth today? That's the power of the blessing. One man. Have you ever heard a time that they say we're lacking goats to eat? No, sir. Anybody? There's a time they ever say we're lacking cow. Cow has finished. Or yangyo. With the way cheap people can eat yangyo. You now heard that yangyo has finished. Even if it finished in Benue, it has not finished in the world. Do you know as Benue people are, do you know in this Benue there's rats? Yes, sir. I don't know that you understand what I'm trying to explain to you. With the way we eat rats, there's still rats. Yes, sir. Tell somebody the power of the blessing. What scripture did we read yesterday about Joseph? Let me see if you can remember. Genesis what? Genesis what? From verse what? Let's read it very fast. See another side about the power of the blessing. I want you to read out. See it in the TPT translation. TPT. I said the power of what? Let's read together. Everybody want to go. Next part of scripture. Yes. Next part of scripture. 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 He refused. Next part of scripture. Next part of scripture. Next part of scripture. Next part of scripture. Are you shocked? Next part of scripture. 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 Very fast. Next part of scripture. Next part of scripture. But what happened? Next part of scripture. In prison. Even in prison. Tell somebody, even in prison. Why? The blessing was upon him. He was conscious of the presence of God. He said, no, no, no. She was fine. She was Oga's wife. No! She refused. In a generation where sugar mommy has become anthem, he refused. Listen, it's not a joke. If you stay with God, you can't compromise your faith. It doesn't matter the allergy that can give you 1 billion. You know your worth. An allergy will give you 1 billion to defy the temple of the Holy Ghost. Say, I know who I am. You can't. Like David will call them, you uncircumcised Philistine. You come to defy the army of the Lord with $1 million. I know some of you have not had that kind of money in your life. Someone offered to give you $5 million. You say, no way. Just for one night, no way. I cannot bow before God and bow before a man. I know whom I've believed and I'm what? Persuaded. Look at the height, Joseph. Look at the height Joseph was. Joseph would have thought that that's the biggest thing that can happen in his life. Joseph would have imagined to rather compromise and maintain that level of prosperity. But he said, I cannot do this great wickedness against the Lord. Meaning, even though Joseph was working for that man, he knew that the first person I'm serving is God. So I have to be faithful to this man. Because I love God, I'll be faithful to this man. And he refused. They lied on his head. They said there's no smoke without fire. But in Jacob's life, we saw smoke without fire. His cloth was in the woman's hand. She was crying. Evidence was plenty. They beat him and put him in the prison. Hearing the wrong testimony that brought him to the prison, the warden, after he heard, he still didn't understand why he had to favor the guy. People will hear wrong things about you, but because you know who you are, and you have the presence of God in your life, they will still favor you. I've gone to places that when I'm done ministry, people will say, Prophet Simon, is this the real you? I say, yes. Do not tell me the name of the person that said something. Be careful of this person, sir. They will turn out their city. The Lord give you understanding in the house, sir. I'll hear and I'll smile. Somebody met me one time in my office. He said, I didn't know you are this lovely and nice and wonderful. I've heard a lot about you. I said, how? He said, look at how you smile. You always smile. They say, you talk anyhow, you behave. I said, me? They say, yes. You talk anyhow, you behave anyhow, you shout anyhow, you behave like a boss. I said, when did I become that kind of person? You know why some people hate you? They've not met you. If they meet you, they can't hate you. They lied on his head, took him to prison. The warden knew. Yet he said, Joseph, be in charge. Everything, every food, he was in charge of food. Imagine you are in prison and in charge of food. Will you want to come out from that prison? You know, the problem with prison is chiefly food. Why are we living on the earth? Is it not to make money and get food? You are now in prison, then answer you are in charge of food. Let's live in prison then. We'll marry in prison, have children in prison. The guy was in charge of everything. The warden had no worries about the prison with Joseph in charge. No worries. Because Yahweh's presence, that's the reason. There's something supernatural that causes you to walk in prosperity. Forget all this physical explanation. You are posting every time on WhatsApp. There's something you can have. The presence of God is a difference. Some people have posts. Their posts now is small on WhatsApp. Advert. Come to church. I don't have time. I'm doing business. Listen, there's a supernatural effect you can add to that business that will cause you to prosper. That is why I say seek first kingdom. Do business from kingship and priesthood. He said, I can do exceedingly abundantly above all you've thought or imagined. How? According to my power where? At work in you. How did I say you express the kingdom? The strength of the kingdom is what? The blessing. We have seen it in the life of Joseph. He said, I will not compromise. You are working in a place, they say, you have to sleep with me. You say, no. I will not. Okay, you've lost the job. No problem, sir. Go. You may, like Joseph, now have a smaller job. Don't think that's your end. Keep on speaking God's word. Keep on speaking. I will show you the power of words. How you unleash the strength is words. By words. The Bible said the words we speak are spirit and they are what? Life. Look at how Joseph enjoyed his life. The warden had no worries about the prison with Joseph in charge because Yahweh's presence was with what? Joseph. And caused everything Joseph did. Everything Joseph did. Everything Joseph did to what? Prosper. Everything. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your presence. Next part of scripture. The Bible says, so time later, both Pharaoh's chief and steward and chief baker deeply offended their master, the king of Egypt. We will read on. I want to hit a point. Next part of scripture. Pharaoh was angry with the chief steward and what? Next part of scripture. Let's part of scripture. The guy was just in charge every time. Next part of scripture. Your eyes are not open to this thing. You don't understand what I'm trying to say. He started with just things that are useless. Sheeps that are not good. At the end, he had camels, donkeys, many male in another man's land. You know, some of you say, but Pastor Simon, where did we talk about the blessing? The father spoke words to him. Remember, Isaac said, you will be blessed. Listen carefully. Even though we think that Jacob cheated his brother, we can learn. I believe God allowed it for us to learn something in the New Testament. He wore his brother's garment, skin type, went to the father. The father felt it, spoke words. He didn't give him any money, any property. What did the father speak? Words. The father said, you'll be rich in cattle. Did he go and sit down and say, cattle, come to me? Look at, he went to serve. Suddenly, see everything the father said in manifestation. Now, if anybody be in Christ, if you wear another, do you understand what I'm trying to say? The Bible says you are blessed with all spiritual blessing where? In Christ. As long as you are wearing Christ, it doesn't matter who you wear, what you have done, and etc. As long as you are wearing Christ, you are blessed. Catch it, just like Jacob. Wore another skin type. The father blessed him. The blessing did not say, you lied, blah, blah, blah. It will go back to Esau. The blessing didn't care. As long as he wore the skin and he felt it, he spoke words. And what did Isaac say? Who God has blessed, no man can what? Curse. It doesn't matter who you wear. If anybody be in Christ, the curse is broken. What is a curse in Genesis 3? The Bible said, from the sweat of thy labor you will eat. You will toil and you eat from the sweat of thy labor. You will toil. Curse is a ground for your sake. Now, what is the blessing? That was the curse. What is a blessing now? The Bible said, curse is the one that is hung on the tree. Meaning, if we're in Christ, Christ has received the curse on our behalf. Now, you got to imagine the curse. Look at the curse in the Old Testament. He said, you must work for everything and you will eat from the sweat of thy labor. In other words, if you are blessed, you don't eat every of your money from the sweat of thy labor. You will work. You will not eat by sweat. Catch what I'm trying to. You must believe this truth. Don't have an expectation that you must sweat before you eat. I'm not saying you will not work. Sweat there means you work hard with your. The Bible says, woe to a man that wakes up in the morning just and sleeps at night just to eat the bread of sorrow. He said, but he giveth his beloved even bread in what? In sleep. Did you get what I'm trying to explain to you? This starts with a mentality. You have to start seeing yourself like that. Say, I'm the blessed one. Jacob worked with that mentality. That is why he knew that even though they give him the sheep that no, okay, he would have more than that man. Evidently, he started with nonsense, nothing, serving a man, became richer than the man. That's the power of the blessing. Boy became richer than Oga. What of Joseph? Working for one man in Egypt, became so influential and rich, would not compromise his faith, went to prison, from prison to the palace, Pharaoh said that Joseph should be in charge of everything in the land. It's anytime Joseph speaks, I have spoken. That's what Pharaoh said. Joseph became in charge of everything in the land because he would not compromise his faith. You know, sometimes you think you have the best yet, and you want to walk in the flesh to sustain the best you have yet. Listen, you don't need to compromise to become wealthy. Seek first kingdom. What was more important to Joseph than anything was the presence of God. As long as he was with the presence, even in prison, he became in charge of everything, including food. That's the secret to favor. When you understand this, you know you don't need to dress naked for anybody to marry you. You don't have low self-esteem. Oh, glory to God forevermore. You wouldn't shout, isn't it? You don't have low self-esteem. Never. We are light of the world. See, our esteem is high. Never low. We can't lie. We can't steal. We don't misbehave. We don't compromise. We are proud of where we come from. We are sons of lights. Somebody is getting prosperous. You don't mock. You rejoice. These are traces of where you will be. So you are not angry. The guy just bought a car. You are excited. You know why you are excited? This is a miniature microcosm of where you will be. Just a snapshot. You don't check the car out. Wow. Prado. That's nice. Beautiful car. Wow. God is gracious. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You go rejoicing. Because that's the least one you have yet. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, you have the blessing upon your life. An empowerment. Anything you do prospers. Look at Jacob. Became prosperous. Became so prosperous. You know, one of the words the father said to him, he said, every man shall bow to you. Every man will respect you. Esau wanted to kill him. The moment Esau saw Jacob, he knelt down and bowed to him. Esau wanted to kill his brother. He was looking for his brother to kill. Immediately he saw his brother. He knelt down and bowed to his brother. Why? The blessing was on Jacob. He can't die. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He cannot die. You know, I hate to say this testimony. One time somebody met me and said, so I cheated, they called me, they said, oh, I'm not going to graduate. I said, you did a very terrible thing, young man, as a Christian. He said, sorry. I said, no, but is there anything God can do? I was about going, the Lord said, speak to him. I said, listen, young man, you will not be expelled. I see you graduating. I don't know how. He said, amen. He cried, shouted, went back. The person that caught him called him. I said, I don't know why. I don't want you to suffer this thing. I don't know why. There's just something about, I don't know. I couldn't sleep. Don't worry. Go. Never behave like this again. That was all. He graduated. Why? Words. Words. We've entered words, isn't it? Let me show you one way the blessing is released. I said true words, isn't it? True words, isn't it? Can you remember a man in scripture called Elijah? The Tishbite. 1 Kings 17:1. Oh, I like that man of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Look at how he brought about a manifestation of the kingdom. I said the strength of the kingdom is the blessing. And I said the blessing is released. That the strength is released through what? Words. Elijah. 1 Kings 17:1. Can we read together? 1 Kings. Everybody, you're going to read out loud. See what happened here. When God says, seek first the kingdom, he's not being foolish. He's telling you to seek the source of everything. Are you here tonight? Media, very fast. 1 Kings 17:1. Can we read together? Can we have it in the TPT? The TPT. Okay, let's just read this. One, two, go. And Elijah the Tishbite, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, they shall be what? Except. Did you hear by the word of God here? What did he say? Except by my word. Meaning the man looked at Israel and said, you people dare me, there will be no rain. Except I say there is rain. Say, God, just leave these people with me, I will deal with them. And when he said it, he left. For how many years? There was no rain. One time he pitied them. He said, go and tell the king, I want to bring rain now. The servant went and said, oh God, say rain will come. When he came back, was the guy eating suya? Libro hobai. Oh, he was not eating suya. The Bible says his head was in between his legs. He said, when we have made mouth, yes, some of you, you think we'll go and sleep. When we say we'll buy land, you think I went and slept? No, I didn't sleep. We have land in the center of this town. The center of this town. We didn't sleep. And listen, that's the least you are seeing yet. I told my wife, I said, we're buying everything around there. When we're done talking, we will not go and sleep. We'll go and put our head in between our legs. We don't want to do really like that. We'll pray in the spirit. The Bible said Elijah shook his head in between his leg. Have you tried that posture before in prayer? Do you understand what I'm trying to do? You are trying to boot. You want to boot. How many of you have owned PC before? Then it's just rolling. Then number poop. It starts rolling. That's what Elijah did. He went and, Lord, I've said there will be rain. He started calling rain. He said, go and check what is happening. The cloud was gathered. He said, I'm not comfortable. It's called prevailing prayers. In the realm of sight, you pray till you see a physical demonstration. But in the realm of faith, you pray until you have a note of victory in your spirit. Then you know it's done. Now in our days, we don't pray and say, go and check whether. No, we pray, and when we receive that note of victory, it's done. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? He prayed, and suddenly the cloud became heavy. He said, go and tell the king rain is coming. He prayed. It happened. You started a business, and people are laughing at the business. Then you are crying. You are worried. And all you do is advertising. Tell somebody, pray. The Bible says we don't know how to pray as we ought to. I love a response one man gave today. I was just scrolling through Facebook. They said to him, at age 40, what is the best advice you would give anybody? He said, well, very intelligent man. He said, well, I think I want everybody to just be close to God and learn to pray. And the interviewer was like, I never saw this coming. He said, everybody should just learn to pray and be close to God. He now used AI. He said, AI seemed to be one of the most intelligent things upon the face of the earth, but human beings created it. You can predict the next move in AI. Even when you write codes, you can predict the next thing to do. He said, but for your life now, can you predict what will happen tomorrow? Can you predict the people you will meet? But somebody knows who you will meet tomorrow. He knows how to connect you to the right people the next minute. The next 5 minutes, he knows something can happen. He said, learn to pray. When I heard it, it blew my mind. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Are you here? Are you here? Thank you, Holy Spirit. This has now led me to the next thing I want to talk about. 2 Kings 7:1. Rain came at his word. Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow, about this time, a seer of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 seers of barley for a what? Shekel. At the gate of what? Samaria. You know what Elisha is saying here? He's saying, fuel. Tomorrow, fuel will be 100 naira. Listen, I'm not joking. Go and read your Bible. You think I'm being mad? Read your Bible. There was a problem in Israel. Economy scattered. And a prophet stood up and came. You did not consider the king. You didn't talk to anybody. He said, go and tell them, thus says the Lord, by this time tomorrow. A prophet spoke. He said, they will start selling this thing like this and like that. to show you that this is unbelievable. Next part of scripture. See what they responded and said to him. So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, look, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, could this thing be? Even if God opened window from heaven now on Israel, this thing you are saying, can it happen? Can it happen? And he said, in fact, you will see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Oh my God. You know, as I say this now, I feel like arranging myself more like a prophet. And I say, by this time, Roba Kabaya. Thank you, Holy Spirit. My spirit is cluttered with so much glory. I feel like telling you that before this time next year, your life is transformed forever. Get on your seats. Just pray under the sound of your breath. The power of words. See, God is not a liar. He said, even if windows open in heaven, this thing you are saying, can it work? And that's why words can kill you, words can make you alive. Words can close your doors, words can open your doors. See, the words of this guy now subjected him. You can ask God a question. How can these things be? You are asking the Almighty. He said, okay, because of what you have said, you will see it. Now, question is, how will he see it and not touch it? We don't understand, but it will happen like that because the prophet said it. Why? Words. Tell somebody words. Words are speech. And words are life. Another part of scripture we'll use before we go home. Ezekiel 37. When I understood that scripture today, I was just shouting in my room. I understood it deeper today. Do you know everything from verse 1 was a vision they had? It was a vision the prophet had. Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. It was a vision he had. Then he went ahead to explain how terrible the situation was and how that the Lord said, son of man, what does that think about the dry bone? In the vision. And when he was done with everything, let's see verse 11. Run to verse 11. Then he said, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. This interpretation. They indeed say, our bones are dry. Our hope is what? And our selves are what? That is why suddenly there was a valley of dry bones. Their words put them in the situation. Israel were in shambles and in poverty because of what they said. They agreed with their present day reality. They didn't see food and said, we are hungry. They didn't know they were signing their reality. Don't allow the economy to determine your words. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? Is what I'm saying making sense to you? Well, you see, the beautiful part of it is that God used words to take them out of it. Because words brought them into it. Words are spirit and life. Words brought them into the situation. Words took them out. The words of the prophet. In the vision, God told Ezekiel, son of man, what dost thou thinkest? Meaning God needed a prophet by the words of a prophet to take the whole of Israel out of the situation. And if you read the vision, Ezekiel began to prophesy, and suddenly so it was for Israel. Look at the next part of scripture. This is interpretation of the whole vision. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Why did God need a man to still speak if he will do it? Tell somebody the power of words. God wants to do it, but somebody had to speak it. I told you the story yesterday about EFCC office. What did I say before I got there? I said, a miracle will happen in this place. Speak words. As you speak, angels are following those words. Do you know you can look at somebody and say, HIV, AIDS, you are healed in the name of Jesus? You can't be sick. I mean, many years ago, they brought somebody to me. Not even brought the person to me. They brought a case to me. A little baby, they could not find vein. one way and the other venue. And I just finished preaching a powerful sermon on a Tuesday. And they were crying. They called her. She was scared too. And I said, but they've seen the vein. He said, no, sir, I'm trying to tell you that they say they've not seen. I said, they just saw the vein. He said, sir, no. I said, I'm prophesying. He said, okay, sir, I believe. Amen. Amen. I said, call. They've seen the vein. She left church and placed a call just when she just got home. They found the vein. Power of words. Somebody came to my office. She said, our brother was in coma. I said, Pastor, please speak words. I said, he's out of coma. He said, Pastor, please say a word of prayer for us. I said, he's out of coma. He said, Pastor, please, I'm kneeling down now. I said, Madam, I still say he's out of coma. No, Pastor, you not talk something. I said, I just said he's out of coma. True life story. Some of you know the testimony. As I was talking, the next morning, the guy led prayer. She called Pastor B. The guy was out of coma, completely out of coma. I think same woman we prophesied when the doctors told her to be coming and doing some exercise, that her stomach, the baby was upside down. And I said, in the name of Jesus, let the baby come straight now. Works. I didn't press the stomach and twist the baby. I said, now the baby is turning, he's straight. That was Sunday. On Monday, she went for a scan. The baby was straight. The power of words. Now, with this authority, this kingdom authority, what will you not get? Are you seeing why God says seek first kingdom? Because if you have kingdom, you can cause anything to happen. You know, now, the blessing, which is the strength of the kingdom, is powerful than money. It makes it rich. It doesn't stop there. It adds no sorrow. Outside the blessing, there's riches and sorrow. But within the parameters of the blessing, there's riches and no sorrow. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? I mean, you are rich, and when doctors are saying that 3 million, you have the 3 million, yet your child will still die of that cancer. You say, doctors, no, don't worry. That's your report. I have a greater report. I may have money, but I am the blessed man. I have the blessing upon my life. I'm anointed. I have the presence of the Holy Ghost. My child may be sick with cancer right now, but doctors, watch and see the hand of the Lord. Samuel, in the name of Jesus, you are made whole. And the doctors are shocked. Is it? That's beyond money. That's being rich towards God. Having the blessing. That you have money and your child will not die. You have money, you cannot lose your wife. I know a man of God called Andrew Womack. His wife died. They came with the news in the morning. The friends just entered the parlor and they were just, you know, they just sat down and started consoling him. And he was just singing praises to God. Andrew Womack. He was singing praises to God. He didn't care whether they came, you know, if he saw them, he'll sit down and start crying. He didn't wait for them to break the news. They were just coming in their number, sitting in his parlor. He knew. He started praising God. He just went out and drove straight to the hospital. See, where is my wife? They showed him. He locked the door, drove everybody out, and started praising God. And called her, darling, in the name of Jesus, come back to life. She came back to life. She came back to life. Listen. Many years ago, the Lord opened my eyes. You know all these things people post? May God not allow you to be ignorant in the name of Jesus. There's an operation that will be done in India for my brother. Please donate. I just pray this does not happen to you in this economy, because nobody would donate. At that time, this lady was suffering with one of her brothers. I said to her, bring the boy to church. I want to pray for him. I gathered the liver to say, bring him to church, let me pray. The lady said, no, we want money. I said, we have prayed enough. What kind of prayer did you pray? Say, we have prayed. We went to our church, sent this thing, and we prayed. I said, come, let's pray. I'm not talking about praying through somebody. I want to lay my hands on that boy. And some people will say, I'm proud. I know what I'm telling you. And she said, we've prayed our prayer. We just need money, sir. Thank you for your concern. And I felt like she's doubting me. I said, okay, healing streams is going on, Pastor Chris. Go and register. Maybe as you see Pastor Chris, you have more faith. She still said, we just want money, sir. We have done our own prayer. God too hears our prayer. I got disappointed. Not too long, the boy died. He died. I said, oh, ye foolish lady in my heart. Oh, you foolish lady. Why? I had read a scripture. Peter didn't have money to give somebody. He didn't have the money. He said, silver or gold I have not, but such as I have, I give unto you. Rise up and walk. Which is better? We gave him money there, or we gave him the ability to go and produce money for himself. Listen, the church is not designed to give people wheelchairs. The church is designed to receive wheelchairs from people. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You may not have money to take your brother or sister to India, but you have the anointing. You can lock up yourself and pray your brother out of that cancer. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Pray your mom out of that stroke. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Nobody needs to die in your home because you don't have money. You are a blessed man. You have the strength of the kingdom. You have the anointing of the spirit. Listen, there are some things. The blessing is bigger than money. It's bigger than money. It makes rich. It has no sorrow. And I said to you, the blessing has no location problem. It can go to another man's land and become the richest in that place. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Who told you this is a dry land? Who told you it's in Abuja that there is money? In America. Listen, I'm not disputing the fact that somehow it is understandable that people are running away from this country. But I tell you the truth, if you understand the blessing, you don't have a location problem. I know it's very difficult to believe this thing I just said. My father asked me a question, Simon, why is it that all your life you don't care about anything except Makodi and your church? Why? He said, you have opportunity. He knew when I was supposed to travel out, I refused. They asked me why I said church. He said, just 2 weeks you could not go because of church. I said, I was not led to go. He said, led waiting. The truth is that it doesn't excite me. Believe me, I'm not joking. If you give me money to travel 1 month to Dubai, I will disappoint you, brother. I will collect that money with the whole of my heart. I will not even visit the airports. I'm telling you the truth. Because I know my prosperity is nowhere. It's in me. A good man out of the treasure of his heart gives birth to what? Good things. I know who I am. I'm not intimidated. I can't look around myself. I know who I am. I've got the blessing. It's on my inside. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Many years ago, a God general in Argentina, he wanted to use the stadium for a crusade. And they told him that the president said when it comes to Christianity, they should not even approve. He said, okay, no problem. He went and prayed for 3 days. The Lord gave him a prophetic word for the president. The president had a sickness that nobody knew, only his doctor. He said, can I see the president? He was fighting and they had to somehow, there's one guy disturbed. The president said, allow the guy, who is that person? Let him come. What just with you, president? Everybody excuse them. He said, you have so thing in your back. Nobody knows except your doctor. The president started crying. He said, but the Lord wants to heal you now. Lift your hands. Laid hands on the president. He became healed immediately. He said, give the guy the stadium and anytime he wants it, give him for free. People of God, if you are ready to pray, you will see the hand of God in your life. Glory to God forevermore. Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? That you can remove HIV from somebody's body. I can look at your sister and say your sister will not die. See, I'm not bragging. I can tell you, you will not lose that guy in your house. They tell you that he has 30 minutes to live. I'll tell you, give me 15 minutes out of these 30 minutes. He will live for more than 15 years. Let me not exaggerate too much. I can tell you. Because of the power of the blessing. Because of the kingdom of God flowing through our lives. God can do exceedingly abundantly above all you have ever what? According to his word. Where? I can tell you what I can do in the next 3 years and pay the price to get it done. Like Elijah, when we say it, we'll go and lock up ourselves and cause it to happen. Do you know you can tell yourself how your business will start happening tomorrow? Next tomorrow? Give yourself some time. What did Daniel say? Oh, King, give us time. Give, just write the vision. Separate yourself onto that vision. You see a manifestation. If you do this thing and it doesn't work, I am not a prophet of God. He said, though the vision tarried. He said, tarry with the vision because it tarried not. Why that vision is tarrying to find manifestation is because you are not ready to tarry with the vision yet. Stop crying. Stop being emotional. You will never get anything crying. You will never get anything being. Stop all those useless pity parties. Stop looking for somebody to help you. God is your source. God said, woe to a man that trusts in a man. Woe, curses that man. He said, that man, when he sees opportunity, will not be able to take advantage of the opportunity because he is trusting in a man. The way Jeremiah puts it, he said he will inherit the parched places of the earth because his hope is on a man. He will not see what God is doing. That's why there's nobody in this church. If you like, give 1 billion. If you misbehave, we'll tell you, sir, you are misbehaving. If you say, I withdraw, we'll say, good, bye-bye. We'll write a letter of send forth for you. Go. You can't prosper. You are too small to single-handedly sponsor this work. As you are going, whether it's 5 years from now, we don't care. God will raise somebody. God will raise people. In fact, God will raise us. We'll do it 20 times that you can do it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Somebody is serving God, giving to the work of God, and you are the devil is suggesting you'll be broke. There was a man in the book of Acts. The man was giving, not giving rightly, was giving under the law, giving to the temple, giving for projects in the temple. What's that man's name? He was a captain, a soldier. Is it Cornelius? Was just giving to the temple, not giving properly under the New Testament revelation. I read it. I think Pastor Chi was in my house when I was reading it on my screen that day. Because I read scriptures by voice from my TV. And I wrote it. It hit me. The Bible said Peter was praying. And he said nobody should disturb him. While he was praying, the Lord opened his eye and showed him Cornelius. And told him two men are coming to see him. That Cornelius is looking for him. They were telling the people, his protocols were telling the people, Peter is not around. He came down and said, from Cornelius, right? The Lord has heard his prayer. Let's go and meet Cornelius. He went there. Immediately, he saw Cornelius. He said, the Lord has heard your prayers and has considered all your almsgiving and giving to the temple. Meanwhile, God stood against those people in the temple while he was on the earth as Jesus. He caused the temple. But because he saw the sincerity of Cornelius' heart. Now, Cornelius was giving to God in his own heart. Not to the people in the temple. Not to the failed project. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And God honored the fact that Cornelius was giving to his work. Even though he never applauded those people's work on the earth. Then you that understand and are giving to the work of God. You think God is not considering what you are doing. No, don't be a joke. The Bible says he rewards them that diligently. Your problem is that you are thinking about money, 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 money. That is why you are not seeing the hand of God upon your life. Stop thinking about rubbish. Set your eyes on wisdom. Set your eyes on wisdom. God is about to give you an idea that can change a nation, not your life. Change a nation. It will change a nation, not just your life. The blessing of tithing entails that God is giving you a blessing that your household cannot contain. Not a blessing that your pocket can contain. A blessing that your household cannot contain. That's the blessing of tithing. Meaning when you give your tithe, don't be expecting some money for some money. 4,000 for 2,000. That's not the blessing. He said, I will open the windows. Windows. You don't walk through a window. You see through windows. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Oh, glory to God forevermore. And some people are thinking, tithing, it's in the Old Testament, it's not in the New Testament. Do you have people that have heard those school of thought out there? I'll give you one scripture that will settle everything. Just one scripture. You know, I promise myself that I will never teach on this thing. Because anybody that wants to believe has already made up their mind. Let's see Hebrews 7 and 8. Just one scripture. In fact, let's read from verse 1 so that you understand. From verse 1, everybody read. Want to go? What did he do immediately? He saw Abraham. He blessed him. I want you to read out loud, okay? Next part of scripture. To whom also? Next part of scripture. Made like who? Remains what? Next part of scripture. Next part of scripture. Next part of scripture. Now, there is something that the people always talk about, the Levitical priesthood. Did you see that connected to Melchizedek? Who the Bible likens to the Son of God? Did you see that connected? In no way. It's not connected. Are they the same order of priesthood? Leviticus, the Levites and Melchizedek are two different order of priesthood. And the Bible likens Jesus to the order of what? Melchizedek. He said, but he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Next part of scripture. Read out loud, everybody. Now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Next part of scripture. Here, mortal men receive tithes. But there, of whom it is witness that he lives. Now, you say, only in the physical tithe happens. But here the Bible is telling, trying to make us understand that even Jesus receives tithes. Are you seeing it? Here, mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witness that he lives. Next part of scripture. Even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak. Next part of scripture. For he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Are you understanding this part of scripture? Are you getting confused? Next part of scripture. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not to be called according to the order of Aaron? Now go back to verse 8 so that you don't get confused, because we are going to another topic now when we keep on speaking. It says, here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witness that he lives. And the Bible is talking about who? Christ Jesus. And there are several scriptures that explain that this is Christ. For instance, Hebrews 9:11 and Hebrews 8:1-2. Let's start with Hebrews 8:1-2. Everybody want to go. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest. Who is what? Next part of scripture. Did you see that? So the Bible is saying that Christ order of priesthood is likened to Melchizedek. And it is different. You see, in Leviticus priesthood, is this is how it happens. When you give, you are blessed. If you don't give, you are cursed. But under the priesthood of Christ Jesus, you are blessed before you give. Melchizedek blessed Abraham before he gave a tenth of his offering. But under the Levitical priesthood, there's an order. You give, you are blessed. You don't give, you are cursed. And you people get out and try to explain. So it's two different things that we're talking about here. So the Bible likens Christ Jesus to Melchizedek. And saying that he that lives there receives tithe. Meaning when we give to the things of God, when we give our tithes, we are giving to Jesus. We are giving to his work. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? This is one of the scriptures that confuses a lot of people. And a lot of them are being quiet. Most of the people that talk about tithing, tell them to quote this scripture. Because before tithing ever started in the Old Testament, a long time ago, that it has existed with what? Abraham. Before the law. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? And listen, should in case you don't understand. When we say even tithing in the New Testament, we're just trying to give you, it's more like a culture of how God wants people to give to his work. Tithing in the New Testament even goes beyond 10%. If you want to know how serious the matter is. That's why the disciples never told people to bring, when, you know, there was an order to bring for the work of the ministry in the book of Acts. They may not call it tithing, but there was a time for them to bring for the work of the ministry. They did not give some, they gave their all. The ones that refused to give their all, they died. So let's step into the New Testament and get into real tithing. Tomorrow, everybody, bring all that you have for the work of the ministry. How many people will come to this church tomorrow? Nobody will step their leg here tomorrow. Giving in the New Testament is even more deeper than you can imagine. I'll show you some scriptures. You just know few. It is more complicated than you can think. 1 Corinthians 9 and 13. You've not seen nothing yet. Even Jesus, the Bible said, I want you to look for that scripture for me, Pastor Peter, or anybody, look for that scripture where the Bible says, and the women gave to Jesus, you know. You know that scripture? I think I showed you people one time. Women, the women gave to Jesus for the work of the ministry, some sort of. Luke 8, right? He said, thank God. We have legend here, legendary. You check it for us. But let's read this one first. One, two, go, everybody. Read out loud. I don't like slow reading. Loud and sharp. One, two, go. This is New Testament by the Father of New Creation Reality. In other words, Paul is saying that me now, prophet, if I want to follow my right, when you people do all your calculation, I should divide the money and carry my own part, sharp, sharp, and go. And I'll still go to heaven. Are you people saying, some people don't like it. Is this serious? You don't like it? It's in the Bible. Let's follow the Bible. If we want to follow giving in the New Testament, it's deeper than what you can imagine in the Old Testament. God is not only talking about giving to his work. He even said the pastors should eat. When they bring things to the church, he said they should divide it and eat. Are you seeing it in the Bible? Yes, if you like verse, it's in the Bible. We're not saying we're practicing it. It's in the Bible. That's small. Galatians 6. If I show you all the giving in the New Testament, you will not believe it. In the book of Philippians, there was a part of scripture where they gave monthly for the work of the ministry. Monthly. Monthly. Apart from their offerings and tithe, they gave monthly for the work of the ministry. One of my friends went to the ministry where that man was standing against tithe, and he said he wanted to see for himself. When he went there, he said he thought they would collect only offerings. They collected like three offerings. Regular offering, offering for missions, prophetic offering. How many people do you see have the impetus to say prophetic offerings in their meetings? I have a friend that told me every time, anytime he sees me, the pastor always have a meeting called Pastor's Appreciation Service. I've never done it all my life. He said, teach the people to know how to appreciate their pastors. But I've never done it. But somebody does it every Sunday. Every Sunday. Hallelujah to Jesus. So if you want to understand this giving, let's explain the giving for you so that you see how hard it is. that we are keeping quiet doesn't mean we don't understand giving in the New Testament. It's deeper than you can imagine. Let's read together. Do we have another rendition? Do we have another rendition? Give us a TPT. If it's there. Let's read together. Did he say might? What did he say? If we are to follow the scripture, you've been sinning a long time ago. Because the Bible says you must share. You must. Did you share yesterday? Did you share the day before yesterday? Oh, you see, they are not answering me. Galatians, not Genesis. All those who are taught the word must share all good things with their teacher. A sharing of wealth takes place between them. Oh, Ragaba, put me in your will. Look at how everybody is calm. Let's get into giving the New Testament. You will not be able to survive it. Here God is saying, live like as a slave of the kingdom. The church in the book of Acts did not say, go on, let's do what the church in the book of Acts did. Let's do it. And see who will come to church tomorrow. There are some things that when you read the Bible, you will not even believe. For instance, imagine a prophet behaves like Elijah with that widow woman in this present day. Imagine a prophet comes to a woman and says, woman, what's your problem? I lost my husband. This is my last food. I want to eat and die tomorrow. And the prophet will say, thus said the Lord, if I eat it, you will have plenty and you will not die tomorrow. Imagine that the priest sees it and put it on the internet. In fact, imagine he's on Facebook. What will happen to that prophet today? He's dead. He will be insulted. Did it happen in the Bible? Answer me. Did it happen in the Bible? Did you read the story in the Bible? What happened to the woman? Did she die? She survived. God, the ways of God are not our ways. They are not the ways of men. You are seeing it like this. God is seeing it like that. Because no matter what, no matter your situation, you lost your husband, it's your last food, the next day you die. No matter the depth of your situation, it is in giving that you never lack. It is giving that will take you out of poverty, not receiving. Not by putting your account number and saying people should help you. It is givers that never lack, not receivers. That's why the Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. God will not bend his principle because of the situation of the woman. Look at how tough her life was. Yet God said, give to come out of your situation. Are you understanding me tonight? See this scripture in the Amplified rendition before we read the next part of scripture and end. You know, people are not shouting again. You were shouting. But I wonder what has happened. Let's read together, church. Read out. One, two, go. Wow. You like this? It's not true. Let's see Philippians, the one that interests me the most. What's that scripture, Pastor Peter? Philippians 4, 17? 16, 17. I want to see it in the TPT before we pray. So, Pastor, teach us giving in the New Testament. Here am I. And when I was in Thessalonica, you supported me for well over a year. Who is talking here? They were practicing this thing in the days of Paul. Paul the Apostle. Next part of scripture. I mention this not because I am requesting a gift, but so that the fruit of your generosity may bring you an abundant reward. Next part of scripture. I have all I need, more than enough. I am abundantly satisfied. For I have received the gift you sent by what? And viewed it as a sweet what? Perfume with what? This is the one that made me to laugh when I was reading. Paul was like, when you brought all your gift to me and I was eating it, it was rising from my belly to heaven. As a sweet smelling sacrifice unto God. God's enjoying it. Wow. As Paul will bite the apple, God will like, wow, smells sweet.
a sacrifice is coming to heaven. I started laughing when I was reading this part of scripture. The first time I read it, I started laughing. Imagine, I come to church today and say, yesterday when I was eating your sacrifices, I mean your gift, I saw a lot of incense in heaven rising, and God was like, can you see the faces? Sorry. So it is not that, see, the way you see it is not the way it really is. And Paul, the same Paul will say, if I want to take my advantage as a minister of the gospel, he said the gospel will not prevail. That is why I withdraw some of my privileges. He was teaching in 1 Corinthians 9, right? He said, I charge other people to preach the gospel. Meaning before he comes to them to preach, you say, you should make sure my transport is ready, or my this is ready, and that is ready. He said, if I want to follow all of those things, God has given me a right, but I will not do it so that the gospel is not obstructed. Imagine you hear that prophet will not come and preach tomorrow because his welfare is not intact. What will you think? He has missed the mark. He's now following what? Mundane things. You see how church is quiet. They say I should preach giving in the New Testament. Last scripture and we pray. 1 Corinthians 9:7. People say, pastor say we'll pray since so. A good preacher ends three times. This is the third time and we want to go. Who serves in the military at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not enjoy the grapes of himself? Who will nurture and shepherd a flock and never get to drink its fresh milk? Who? Who? That's what the Bible said. In other words, if you bless your pastor, you are not doing him a favor. He's enjoying the fruit of his labor. According to the Bible, I did not preach this one. No. It's the Bible that is saying it. You know, some people, they give to the things of God. You now see them pompous. It's only normal. That's just what you are supposed to do. Next part of scripture. I'm merely giving you my opinions. Or does the Torah teach the same things? The Torah teach the same things. Next part of scripture. For it is written in the law of Moses, you should never what? Put a muzzle. Over what? Why he is what? Tell me, is God only talking about an us in here? Next part of scripture. Doesn't he also give us the principle so that we won't withhold support from his workers? It was written so that we would understand that the one spiritually plowing and spiritually treading out the grain also labors with the expectation of what? Enjoying the harvest. Ay, God. You see it? They don't know that it's in the Bible, all of those people. And you see pastors, everybody is keeping quiet. If pastors come out and quote scripture, who will survive? And it happens a lot. Especially, I remember a pastor was giving a testimony. He said he trained some people many years ago, and after some years, they brought a private jet to him, five of them. And so people are, pastor, private jet. What should pastor have? Okada? You've not seen anything yet. Next part of scripture. So if I have sown many spiritual gifts among you, it is not too much to expect to reap material gifts from you. If you had this translation, you would even laugh more. Do you have the message? Huh? For this rendition, just they've closed this thing, media. I want us to pray. Are you ready to pray? I know I'm boring you now. Pastor, this one you are teaching this side, what are you saying? Talk to us directly. Don't talk to us indirectly. Alright, where were we? Verse what? Verse 11. Do you have in the Amplify rendition? If you don't have the message, give me the Amplify.
If we have sown the good seed of spiritual things in you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? Next part of scripture. If others share in the rightful claim over you, do not we even more? However, we did not exercise this right. Why? But we put up with everything so that we will not hinder the spread of the good news of Christ. Are you seeing that? If we want to demand this right, we will what? Hinder the spread of the gospel. Imagine we come and are demanding this right. People will be like, ah, this pastor is money corrupt, blah, 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 blah. So Paul said it is not even nice for a pastor to be demanding this right. Why? Because he will what? Hinder the gospel. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So that the pastor is not demanding it, it doesn't mean they don't understand their place. They understand their rights. You know, for many years, one of my senior mentors was telling me to receive salary. And I told him, I remember on campus, he had to shout for me one time. He said, do you think you can survive? I said, I'm not led, sir. He said, be there. When the Lord led you, follow. He shouted, I'm not joking. He said, do you think, are you mad? Are you better than the people? Blah, 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 blah. I said, sir, me, I know the kind of congregation I have with students. If I start this one, treasurer asks me, sir, what is the money for? And I say, for pastor's welfare. I said, ministry will close. So to make sure the gospel keeps on moving on campus, we have to just remove ourselves from all of those things. In essence, what am I saying? Giving in the New Testament is not under compulsion. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? God loves a word, a cheerful giver. In fact, Paul speaks about the giving in the New Testament to being a grace. If you have tapped into that grace, it will be liberal. Giving will be very liberal. Tithing in the New Testament, the word tithing is more like the culture of giving to the work of God. Tithing in the New Testament even goes beyond 10%. It's the truth. It's the truth. I'm not lying to you. It's not a culture like the Levitical priesthood that says if you don't do so amount, this will happen. No, that's not how it is. Jesus is likened to Melchizedek. Melchizedek blessed Abraham before Abraham brought a tenth. So when we give in the New Testament, we are not giving to be blessed. Or when we don't give, we'll be cursed. No. You know, some people have come to me before and say, Pastor, I did not pay tithe from January. I want to join all and pay in December. And I said to them, if you try to do all those things, you may kill yourself. The truth is that you are being foolish. Just continue where you are. To the best you can. Continue from there. It's not like if you don't do it, God will not strike you. No, that's not how it is in the New Testament. Does that mean that since you understand this format now, you will now not pay? And wait to December. When is December? You now say, Pastor, even say, anytime I want to pay, we should not try to pay for the backwards. We should just... If you do like that, God knows that you are trying to wine him. He will wine you too. But you cannot pay for your sin. That's what I'm trying to make you understand. There's a saying, respectfully speaking. You know, I believe that even if elders of the faith make mistakes, there's a way you talk about it that you don't disrespect them. You know, I've heard this school of thought that says if you don't pay tithe, you'll not go to heaven. Respectfully speaking, it's not true. Doesn't mean the people are foolish people. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Some of them have seen this thing work for them so much. The way they hold the thing secret, maybe that's why they had the impetus to say things like that. I believe the person did not say that to just steal from people. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's not true. You are not under any curse. Because God loves a what? A cheerful giver. But listen, it goes beyond just a culture of standing up and giving to the work of God. God is saying everything you have. Everything you are. When you sit down in the house, you do your business, it's working. God is like, I love a cheerful giver. Sit down, consider what you have done. He now said, he that sows sparingly shall reap what? He that sows what? Shall reap what? In the New Testament. Meaning God is like, if you have 100k and you give me 2k inside the 100k, you will reap like that because you are greedy. You are greedy. Giving an example, I will speak it the way it is. The truth is that you will be mocked. Whether I will say the truth or not say the truth, we will still be mocked. But this is the truth. If you want to believe, you believe it. What am I trying to say? If you have 2,000 and you want to give to God and you remove 1,000 and give to God, you gave better than somebody that had 100,000 and removed 2,000 inside to give. The person may have given more than you gave physically, but spiritually you gave better. Just like that woman in the Bible. She gave very small amount, but she gave better than a lot of people that gave plenty.
Why? Jesus says she gave out of her all. Meaning her own giving was more like a sacrifice. It shook her. But the other people gave out of comfort. You have 1 million and remove 50k and give. Did anything shake? And listen, listen carefully. Giving is very difficult. That is why most people are not walking in prosperity yet. Giving is very difficult. The only way out of poverty, according to the kingdom, is giving. Whether you like it or not. That is why anytime the topic is being preached, people are not comfortable. People are not comfortable. It's very difficult to give. A lot of people that are even prayer warriors in church, they don't know how to give. There are people that can fast for 1 week, they don't know how to give. Very greedy. If you observe, some of us are being in the faith, will tell you that people that give prosper more in the kingdom than people that even pray. I can tell you from you know, as I'm saying it now, it looks like I'm saying rubbish. But I know what I'm telling you. God cannot be the Lord of your life and not be the Lord of your wallet. The Bible says this, where the heart of a man is, his treasure is there. His treasure is there. I'm not saying prayer is not important. There are some people that prayer has become more like a religion. They will do it like a religion, but God has not even taken their heart. The proof that God has taken your heart is that you can take your treasure and lay it at his feet. A lot of people cannot do that. And listen to what the Bible said in the book of Proverbs about such a character. Thank God I remembered it. It says, Proverbs 11:24. Let's read together. One, two, go. There is one who what? And yet what? And there is what? But what? You are not reading. TPT rendition. TPT. Everybody read out loud. Everybody. Want to go? Now, NKJV and NLT, if you can relate it for me. Let's read NKJV very fast before he gives us the last one. One to go. And there's one who withholds more than his right, but he leads to poverty. And the last rendition. NLT. One to go. Give freely and become wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. Is it in your Bible? So you see why you are broke? Some people. Because out of the small they have now, they can't even give to the things of God. They can't even give their friends. They can't give to anybody. They are akagob. Listen, anybody that cannot give to the things of God doesn't give to friends. Don't be deceived. Say, for me to give my tithe, it's better I go and give somebody that cannot eat. They don't give to nobody. And they only remember those people when they see that the work of God is prospering. Like Judas in the Bible. That's how they behave. And when they want to give such people, they must be cameraman. Hallelujah to Jesus. So giving is a very important matter. Don't take it lightly. No matter what we shout here and blah, 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 the only way out of poverty is giving. The prophet told the woman, he said, your husband is dead, is your last food. The Lord said, give to me, let me eat. I'm not saying give to me, or before they go and say, prophet is saying, I'm trying to quote scripture for you people. And what happened to the woman? She had a lot. Glory to God forevermore. If you observe, I did not preach story. I preach Bible. I did not tell anybody any fairy tale. I'm telling you stories in the Bible. So that if you want to quote me, you are quoting Bible. And if you want to have problem with me today, it's with God you have at the end. Because it's God I quoted to you. Are we clear on the aspect of giving? I like how the meeting ends so soft. Yesterday we were shouting, yes sir! Today we are calm, yes sir. Everybody bow your heads and pray. We have come to the end of the service. Thank the Lord for his word. Give him all the praise. One of the key things I love about everything we taught tonight was the story of Joseph. The Bible said he kept on prospering because he had the presence of God. He had the presence of God. I love the fact that he wouldn't compromise his faith, and God took him to a higher level. Even though it seemed like his standing for the truth took him backwards. And I feel that's what God is speaking to us chiefly in this meeting for this generation. That we see beyond money. We see his kingdom. We hold on to his presence because it is the source of everything. Tell him how much you are willing to stay with his presence. How much you are willing to push his kingdom. Stay within the parameters of his kingdom. Go ahead and speak to him. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, your presence is heaven to me. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, oh, your presence is. For many of us tonight, the Lord is convicting our heart. He's speaking to us specially. For some of us, there are parts we have taken. In negation to Psalms 1, the Bible said, blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, in the path of the scornful, and the path of the wicked. For some of us, the Lord is telling us to withdraw from several paths, from such paths, and to hold on to his word. Hold on to his path. For some of us that are weary, I feel the Lord is speaking to us and telling us, do not be weary in doing good, for the appointed time is nigh. Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? I just feel the Lord wants a total surrender. Matchless love and beauty, endless word. Nothing in this world can satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? Matchless love and beauty, endless worth. Nothing in this world can satisfy me. Jesus, you are the cup that won't run dry. Your presence is heaven. Nothing more important than his presence. Woo! Hey, your presence. The presence changes everything. Like Joseph, it changed everything in the master's house, including his field and everything he had. Your presence is heaven to me. Rapakosha balakabaya. Your presence is heaven to me. In your presence, that's where I am shrunk. In your presence, oh Lord, my God.
in your presence, that's where I belong. Seeking your face. In the depths of your love. In your presence, oh God. We don't have all the time. It's time to make the right decision. I feel the Lord is convicting most of us to make the right decision for life. We don't have all the time. For life and godliness, it is time to make the right decision. In fact, it is time to tell yourself, I'm ready to pay the price for my destiny. It is time to take responsibility. Lord, I'm not too young to take responsibility. I'm taking responsibility from henceforth. I will stay with your word. I will stay with the spirit. I will pray. I will obey your kingdom principles. And I'll become all that you want me to become. Go ahead, somebody. Commit yourself to taking responsibility of every principle that will entail success in your destiny. Go ahead and pray. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Woo! Rabba shabba baba 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 baba. I cannot bow before God and bow before man. No way. Oh, rama shadara yaka. Only the Lord is my help. I cannot bow before God. Shabababaya. Bow before man. There's no way. No way. We cannot call out your name and end up in shame. We cannot call out your name and end up in shame. Hey, I cannot bow before God and bow before man. Lord, we cannot call out your name and end up in shame. There's for you are my God. Woo. You are my God. Woo. Hey, you are my God. Yes, Lord. The Bible says he rewards those that diligently seek him. He rewards those that diligently seek him. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Yahweh, Yahweh, the all-sufficient God, the all-sufficient God. Yahweh, Yahweh, my all-sufficient God,
My all sufficient God, Yahweh, Yahweh, dependable God, dependable God, Yahweh, Yahweh, hey, Yahweh, dependable God. Dependable God, hey, Yahweh, 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 all-sufficient God, all-sufficient God, El Shaddai, Yahweh, Yahweh, all-sufficient God. Sufficient God, Yahweh, Yahweh, dependable God, dependable God, sing Yahweh, 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 dependable God. Dependable God, you are covenant keeping God, you are covenant keeping God, Yahweh, covenant keeping God. You are Yahweh, covenant keeping God. Oh, you are. Hey, you are Lord. Hey, hey, you are Yahweh, Yahweh, covenant keeping God. Yahweh, Yahweh, you never leave me. You said you are beside me. Swept me, the Lord, you, yeah, you said, you're beside me, Lord, that is sure, the sun will stand me, and the moon. Flood will sweep me, the Lord. Yeah, you are you. You are Lord. You are Yahweh, 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 Yahweh. Yahweh, 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 you are, yeah. Hey, you are, yeah, yeah, you are Yahweh, Yahweh. Yahweh, Yahweh, you never left me, Lord. You said that you wouldn't forsake. Yeah, you are beside me, and God is on the mend. The
passion won't bind me, Lord. Yeah. The flood won't sweep me. The Lord, the Lord, you never let me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sweep me, you alone. Yeah, you are. Just the voices. You are. Sing it to yourself. You are Yahweh, Yahweh. You are Yahweh, Yahweh. One more time. You are. Sing it to yourself. Yeah, you are Lord. Hey. Assure yourself. You are Yahweh and Yahweh. Woo! You were Yahweh, Yahweh!
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.